The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. Here with a name you know. We've spoken to him multiple times. We've unfortunately spoken to his podcast partner, former tag team partner, multiple times. It's Brian Myers, and you know what? He doesn't necessarily have a podcast partner in all of his ventures. We've got Extreme Conversations out now. This is something I've been excited about for so long, for quite a while. Please, Brian, as I just intro'd you, I'm going right into tell people what this is, because I'm really excited to talk about it.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up right up the bat here, because I'd love to talk about it and promote it a little bit here. Thanks for letting me use your platform. Extreme Conversations with Brian Myers, basically a passion project of mine. Truth be told, you know, it's under the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Network umbrella. Mm-hmm. And basically, Matt had the idea for MC True Long Island Story, and I kind of felt like, well, I got to bring something to the table here.
Bare minimum and Brian, right?
That's bare minimum Brian. I don't want him busting my balls to the end of time.
He was busting your balls in the email. He sent me the press release for this, and I was like, we got an interview set up. And he said, I wish bare minimum Brian would have told me.
There you go. So, and I just, you know, I've been such a lifelong, passionate ECW fanboy, and it's just kind of never left me. And then it's gotten to the point where I've been wrestling, you know, over 17 years now, and I've befriended most of these guys, you know, and they're in my own personal Rolodex, and I've begged a few of them to do this on their own. You know, I said, there's no ECW podcast. Like, sure, there's things where things are covered, but there's no podcast just for ECW and ECW alone. And I've begged, I thought, you know, this is no shot at him, but Dreamer has a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I said, dude, this has to be an ECW podcast. You can't just have another, you know, whatever podcast that people do about wrestling. Like, this is your wheelhouse. Like, yes. Use that. And he didn't listen to me. I begged Raven to do it. Didn't do it. So I said, you know what? I'll just do it my damn self. I have all these guys at my, you know, fingertips anyway, and they're my buddies, and I'd love to talk to them anyway. So it really turned out, you know, it's just a complete passion project with much to the help of Smart Mark Sterling, who has the tedious job of editing this all up. And as we went along, we realized that we had something really special here, but it's not a regular podcast in the sense that, like, there's so much editing to it. You know, it's not just like, here was this interview with this guy.
Yeah.
It's multiple interviews chopped up in different categories, and we dropped it like Netflix style, season style, where you can just binge and listen to it at your leisure. You see the list of the 6 episodes, you can go, oh man, this one all about Balls Mahoney interests me. Listen to that first. You know, there's no, you can't go wrong, basically.
So, man, there's so many different avenues I want to go down just based on that first statement. Like, an ECW podcast was something I wanted to lean into years ago, and it's something I thought Conrad would have done.
But I pushed him to do it too. I think he's just looking for the right guy.
And,
you know?
And to me, like, just, and I didn't start watching ECW until the late days, like TNN era, like when it mm-hmm. got on there, it became accessible to me. It's like Tommy Dreamer, Joey Styles, or Paul Heyman. And Joey doesn't want to. Tommy's doing his own thing. Paul can't. Yeah. So it's like, I think your approach is like, well, you know what? Let me grab everybody that I can possibly think of that knows something about this. It's just, I know because I've done these about the Royal Rumble and War Games and Muhammad Hassan. Like, that's very tedious work. It is incredible amount of work to reach out to all these people, schedule with all these people. Admittedly, some of these ECW veterans are not the best with scheduling, as I have come to find out.
Okay, or technology or Zoom calls or even their memories. Yes. So there's a lot of work involved in this, yes.
So you're doing, like, honest-to-God journalism, finding out this information, and I really dig it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, there's a really fun moment. I'm interviewing Raven, and the whole episode is about Anarchy Rules 99. He's in a tag team title match, you know, sold out Chicago. It's a show where, like, so many kind of notable things happen, you know. That's where Taz, it's like public knowledge, he's leaving, has this big send-off. Unforgettable stuff to me as a fan. Yeah. I go, Raven, Anarchy Rules 1999, you're in this tag team match, hit me, what do you remember? He goes, nothing. Don't remember one goddamn thing about even being there, that it happened, nothing. I'm like, awesome, thank you. You know, but that's what I'm getting myself into, so I, you know, I take it all on.
So I'll sort of plug, like you mentioned Balls Mahoney earlier, I'll sort of plug that in with Anarchy Rules 99, because I remember when that happened, that's when I was first, like, really getting into ECW. I was familiar with it. I loved the idea of ECW because I had seen Rob Van Dam, and how can you not like ECW if you've even seen Rob Van Dam on Raw? Mm-hmm. And somehow, I can't remember how it was, I was watching Anarchy Rules 99, and I didn't know who the hell Rob Van Dam was facing. I just knew he was facing somebody. And then I go,
It was supposed to be Johnny Smith.
Yes. And yes. I go, oh, Balls Mahoney. And then I saw the match.
He's a kick-ass 20-minute main event. Yeah.
And Paul Heyman told me it was one of his favorites of all time.
Yeah. It's one of the beauties of ECW. Like, you know, something went haywire. I don't remember the exact reason why Johnny Smith didn't do the match. But, you know, someone who wasn't booked steps up, fills a role, maybe supersedes what was supposed to happen. You know, that was like the magic of ECW, you know, one of those special things.
So was there anybody that you didn't think that you'd be able to get a hold of for this that you did? I know, quite frankly, you'd asked a lot of these people to sign figures before, because you've got that boxed ECW signed collection.
Yeah. I mean, just over the years, you know, I've shared locker rooms with these guys and I just gravitate to them, you know, cause I just want to, you know, I want to be this ECW loyalist that I've always been. So I have become, like, just friendly with a lot of these guys. Like, I'll text with them, like, on a regular basis kind of thing. So that part was pretty easy. I think the one, I mean, obviously, like you said, Paul Heyman and Joey, but they are kind of, like, not, you know, doable. Other than that, I think a real cool one that we got that most people don't hear from is Harry Slash, who's, like, the godfather of the music and stuff.
Loved his.
Yeah, so there's a whole episode on just the music and, like, why people's entrance musics were what they were. And I decided to get as many people as I can, you know, to fill up the space. But sometimes it's like, it was literally like a sentence talk, you know, why is this your song? I don't know. Paul just picked it for me. Okay. End of story. You know, there wasn't a lot to it, but I knew the meat and potatoes of that is Harry Slash and his involvement. And a lot of people don't know that story. And I thought that was a really cool get, because you don't just see him pop up on interviews like every day. And the other, like, unsung hero, which I loved because he has no filter and he's the most fun stories, is Johnny Candido, the little brother of the late, great Chris Candido, who, like, just came through, especially in the Balls episode. I mean, just some unbelievable stories. One of my buddies at Creative Pro said he was working out listening to the Balls episode. I said, dude, that's flat out dangerous, bro. You're gonna drop like a barbell on yourself laughing or something. He goes, bro, I almost did. Like, I said, yeah, I would not recommend that at all, because there's so many legit LOL moments in that Balls Mahoney episode. And I think that Balls Mahoney one could be like a four-parter or maybe more if we wanted to, because just you say that name and guys light up and they just want to tell these outrageous stories and stuff. So that was a layup.
I also got a kick out of Harry Slash saying that he looked like Paul Heyman from behind and Pat Patterson came up and grabbed his ass. And he goes, now what kind of relationship, what kind of friendship do you all have to where this was the first thing that happened? Like, I loved it. Yeah. I thought that was really good. Yeah, and as you mentioned, Harry Slash isn't somebody that when we're doing the news aggregation, we see popping up a lot. Like, we don't see that. So that was immediately one I sent to my team and I was like, hey, this guy doesn't talk. Let's let the people know what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Were all these virtual? Did you get any, like, on the convention circuit?
So they're all Zooms. Okay. Except Shane Douglas, who I knew I was doing a show with. And I tried to Zoom with him, but he just flat out said he doesn't have, like, that capability.
Yeah.
And even if he did and did it on his phone, It got to the point where Mark and I were like, this is, he's such a good talker, yeah, and he's got, his memory is like as sharp as it can be. We're like, it would be a shame to waste it with like bad audio.
He's done like six podcasts.
I know. He said he could not. Who guides him through that. Like, I know Shane pretty well now.
Yeah.
He wasn't bullshitting me. Like, there's no way he's not, you know, a technology guy. Yeah. So we brought our podcasting equipment to the show in Knockdown, got a really great interview with him. Like I said, he's one of the ones that's just so sharp and a great storyteller and stuff. I could just sit and listen to him talk all day.
Was there anybody that you like maybe couldn't get a hold of? Like, I mean, obviously we lost Tracy Smothers last year.
There's obviously the, you know, like I was thrilled to have Judge Jeff Jones on, mm-hmm, who's a crazy busy guy who's like in the thick of it with AEW right now, working behind the scenes. But to have him on as basically, I mean, he's an ECW original, of course, but to kind of represent Mike Awesome.
Yes.
I thought was really cool because I especially in that era, like you said, that TNN era, I freaking loved Mike Awesome. So I thought that was really cool to have him as the representation for him.
Yeah, to me, like that first sort of cast that I saw, I thought they presented them so well on TV. Like I believed in Spike Dudley because of what they were doing him just on those TNN shows.
Such an underrated big man, little man feud.
Yeah. And
yeah, big time.
The way that everybody would make him look like Sally Graziano taking the acid drop, it's like, oh my gosh. Oh,
so cool, yeah.
It made me believe at like 15, if I hooked a cravat on him, I might be able to do it.
Yeah.
Sally made me believe.
Yeah.
So was there anybody you tried to get and they just said, no, I'm not doing it?
Honestly, no. I didn't get any no's, but I didn't test my luck. I think now that I've done it and proved myself, like I was hesitant to ask Bubba Dudley because he's not the friendliest, but I think I just saw him at a show and got to talk to him. I think I'd be able to get him now.
So what's interesting, when he did like media calls and stuff like that, I would be like, oh man, Bubba Dudley, he's going to be in character, all that stuff. He actually wasn't, and it was some of the most introspective,
for sure. Yeah, I think if I just get him
stuff, yeah,
yeah, on the right day in a good mood, he'll be an incredible interview. So he's somebody I would love to have. Plus, like I said, he's pretty sharp and has all the memories and stuff and the good stories. Taz is another one that I love to get, who I've gotten pretty close to in the past couple of years and stuff through Creator Pro and whatnot. So he's someone that I think would be great because he pretty much doesn't talk ECW very often, you know. Yeah,
and I think that'd be such an outstanding element of this. So I can tell you as a media member in this field, a lot of times, quite frankly, you're talking to the best liars in the world. And I mean that as a compliment. You guys make people think that you're hurt when you're not hurt and you're not hurting when you are hurting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like when I'm digging for scoops, I got to say, is there an agenda here? Is there like, what's the motive? Now for this, it's a bit different because you're talking about stuff decades prior, but still there are going to be people with agendas. How do you kind of navigate that?
I don't mind that because like you said, we're talking 20 years ago plus, so bring it, as long as it's entertaining, I guess, at this point. It seems like some of that stuff could be fairy tales, but it doesn't matter because it's that person's perspective and their memory of it, and it could almost be 0% true, which I'm sure some of this nonsense you hear on the show is, but I think because it's been so long, it's fine. It's not someone BSing me that they got, I got a deal from AEW and WWE on the table. I don't know which one to choose. It's not bullshit like that. It's like, Balls Mahoney gorilla pressed a shark and killed it with a spork.
And that
kind of shit's fine.
And I mean, like to that point, like some of my favorite stuff in Forever Hardcore, that documentary that Jeremy Borash did, was just New Jack talking about things. Stuff that wasn't even ECW.
To back up your question, he's someone who I think is sorely missed from the show because he was an incredible ECW shoot interview for sure. I mean, I've seen a ton of him.
He was the reason I got into shoot interviews, period. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'd say mine would be Honky Tonk Man, but New Jack's a close second.
See, I wasn't a Honky Tonk Man fan, so I didn't want to watch his shoot interviews. And I didn't.
Bro.
Yeah.
Those original ones where he's like shit faced are unreal. Yeah.
But
in the era we're living in now, they do not age well. Let me just say that too. Yeah.
And it was New Jack saying, yeah, I wanted Vic Grimes to die. Yeah. I stabbed this guy. Yeah, he dropped the charges and I got out of Florida. Yeah, I beat up a 70-year-old man. Like, That's what got me into shoot interviews.
Yeah.
Like right there.
That's the good stuff. Yeah. I always have this funny story. I rode with Jimmy Wang Yang for a little bit when I first started. And he has this like ROH shoot interview he did like the first time he was fired.
Yeah.
I swear to you, it's the cure for insomnia. Like it will put you out. It's so goddamn boring. He's so monotone and one word answers. It's like horrendous. And I, one day in the car, I just confessed that to him. I said, dude, I'm a big shoot interview guy. I bought your shoot interview. I don't think I've ever gotten through it. It's so goddamn boring. He goes, yeah, who cares? That guy's paying me the same amount of money to sit there and talk, whether I give up the gossip on every single thing that's ever happened to me or I say nothing. So who gives a shit? And I was like, okay,
oh,
fair enough.
Man. and that is true. I mean,
I was like, okay.
And that's why I'm glad shoot interviews went away so we don't have to pay you guys.
Yeah,
anymore.
You know, shoot interviews are basically free and they're called podcasts, so it doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
because everybody's promoting their own weekly shoot interview, basically.
Whatever, yeah, yeah.
Oh man. So okay, so this series dropped. You obviously seem to have plans to do more.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback's been incredible. We debuted at number 2 in all of wrestling. I think we were like 40-something in all of sports, which is wild. I mean, like literally this call right now is the first thing of promotion we've even done. So
awesome.
It doesn't really add like a vehicle behind it except me telling people it's coming. And it did take quite a long time to collect the interviews, to edit it, you know, to make decisions and stuff. I mean, at one point, I mean, one of the interviews is one of the podcasts is a tribute to Tommy Dreamer. And at one point we're like, God, are we going to get destroyed for putting this out? Even though we did this prior to that incident and all these people said all these genuine, amazing things about this guy who's helped them out for years and years and years, you know? So it was like that put a little kind of pump to it. You know, we had to let that fire kind of cool off. So there's been a lot of hurdles. And like I said, collecting the interviews, it was a lot. And it was all worth it, I think, to just like drop it in one day where you can binge and do your thing. And I think the feedback has been substantial that, you know, we'll make it, I think, like an annual thing.
One of the best pieces of news best pieces of advice I got regarding that and navigating controversy is today it's in the news, tomorrow they're wrapping dead fish with it. Like the wrestling cycle moves so, so fast.
It's insane. I always, whenever one of my buddies kind of messes up or isn't got some heat or whatever, I go, dude, someone's going to mess up tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you become second. And the next day that someone mess up, then you become third on the list and then to the bottom and you're forgotten.
And
it's just this never ending cycle of wrestling heat and it, you know, mess ups that.
Yeah,
it's the way the business works.
And hopefully the people that do actually abhorrent things that are unforgivable stay out, and the people
that's different. Yes,
yeah,
yes,
and then
of course,
the people that just say some dumb stuff and then really feel bad about it can learn from it. Is the hope?
No, nobody's perfect, but bad people are bad people, and they shouldn't be involved in pro wrestling.
ECW veterans are absolutely perfect. I've never seen one
basically
do anything regrettable at all.
Especially Balls Mahoney.
Especially Balls Mahoney. So, like as we look through like these episodes, and you've got Balls Mahoney, you've got Wrestlepalooza, Anarchy Rules, the music, you've got Tommy Dreamer. Which was your favorite to work on? I mean, obviously this is, and Heatwave as well, the one that you dropped last year.
The pilot's great. That was like our proof of concept, that Heatwave 2001, which is all about the backstage XPW fight and a lot of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was pumped for that. So for like a year, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
And
that was the initial thing. We dropped that and then people were excited about it. I was like, okay, we are on to something. Let's keep going. We didn't know how tedious it was going to be, but yeah. My favorite, I mean, in my mind when I made this list, it was like the music, just because that was such an impactful part of me being an ECW fan, which I just kind of blabber about on the episode. So it's not hard to understand.
You can ask everybody about it.
Oh, it made such a big difference. Like these songs that are really timeless rock songs are timeless in your head as a wrestling fan because you connect them to this superstar like for the end of time, you know. It's wild. I was really looking forward to it, and I keep pressuring him to listen to it. Is I want Tommy to hear his episode and hear about all these people, especially the tough year he's had, like, you know, hear all these people that really care about him and that appreciate the things he's done for him, you know. But all been said, the Balls Mahoney app, that's the number one like feedback I've gotten from people, and people just been like over the moon excited about that one because it's 2 hours of insane Balls Mahoney stories that are like laugh out loud, like just awesome, awesome. Listen,
that's the only one I haven't watched yet because I listened to them in reverse as they appeared on the Apple feed.
Oh man!
So I'm really excited to check that one out.
You're gonna have to message me after that one because it's unbelievable. Some of the stories.
So yeah, like there was this big gap for a long time with.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
No TNA podcast, no ECW podcast, and now Jeff Jarrett has TNA pretty well covered. There ain't going to be anybody better than him doing that. And now it's like you look at this and it's like, well, it's hard to believe that anybody's going to top this, because you're not just getting one piece of insight. And I think that is so unique and interesting in one of these retrospect podcasts, because so many people, even if they have the connections, they just don't follow through and gather all these interviews and put them together and all that. At what point did you formulate in your head, I'm going to do this? Because obviously it was well over a year ago.
Yeah, like it was almost out of like the guilt of like that Broski was going to contribute a whole nother podcast. And I'm like looking around like, you guys looking at me? And I had this idea anyway, and I've been dying for someone else to do it. And I said, you know what? Like I said, screw it. I have all these guys literally at my fingertips. Most of them are like my buddies. You know, it wouldn't even be like awkward to like introduce my, I think Jazz was at Impact and I never met her. And I said, I introduced myself to her and I, you know, sat down with her to get her soundbite about her music and stuff. So other than that, I mean, these people are like literally people I text with. So like, I was like, you know, screw it. They all, you know, like me, I hope to think. And, you know, and you said, I think ECW guys really enjoyed talking about ECW. So there was no harm in it in my mind.
And now like the convention circuit is firing back up. There's a good chance you're going to be around a lot of these people. Is that something that you're looking at? Because I remember 2 years ago, I went to a table and it was like just incredible. Mikey Whipwreck, Rhino, and then bless him, Tracy Smothers, who did a run in on one of my interviews. And I loved, I treasure that moment now. Is that something that you're looking at doing, or
looking forward to before the pandemic? And I told them they're welcome to use Creative Pro Wrestling Academy. Shane Douglas, Justin Credible, and Sandman were going to do like a spoken word tour, you know, like a live Q&A, stories, whatever. And they had like a bunch of dates lined up, and it was literally right when the pandemic hit and the world shut down. And then they haven't been able to kind of get back on track of doing that. But I was like looking forward to that. I was like, shit, I'll literally give you my building for free, and then I'm going to hang out and have a couple of beers and listen to you guys. This sounds great. You know, it's just, if you love DCW, it doesn't need explanation. You just get it. You know what I mean? If you were in those crowd, like I went to a bunch of live ECW shows, and to this day, it like pulls in my heartstrings as a wrestling fan. Like the way I felt, the excitement, the intimacy, it's never been topped for me as a wrestling fan, you know, and I hold on to it to this day as a 36-year-old.
So without like kind of spoiling future seasons or anything, are there some topics that you're like, I absolutely have to cover, like that people wouldn't think? Like, I would imagine like maybe the figure line, even though you've done the complete history of ECW figures, which, God damn it, made me collect them. And it's a more expensive hobby than I'd like.
They're a very underrated, beautiful toy line. Everybody's unique sculpts. They're like timely to that era.
To me, I like the art of a wrestling figure. I don't necessarily, I'm not a face scan guy. I don't like face scans. And I like Jack's Bone Crunchers because they're so goddamn ugly. And I like ECW figures because they're so pretty. They look good.
Yes. And they're all like, there's not one reused part in that whole line, which is, I think, is pretty cool. But yeah, spoiler alert, on the major Patreon, if you sign up, there is a bonus episode
Ooh.
Of Extreme Conversations all about the original San Francisco Toy Makers action figures. So that's already in the can up right now. If you sign up for the Patreon,
nice.
you can listen to it in their bonus, amongst a million other bonus things that we offer on our Patreon. But that's the Extreme Conversations addition to it.
Man, that's incredible. So I'm going to ask you to actually contribute to a couple upcoming projects I have. Okay. Every year I do one called – well, last year I did the first. It's called Inside the Royal Rumble. It's kind of a collection of just Royal Rumble memories and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you were a part of a few of them, especially a pretty interesting one in 2018, the greatest Royal Rumble, which was
– Oh, God. Does that even count?
It was the
Does
greatest in number. It was not the greatest in quality. Yeah, that much.
They just use it like – they just use it – they just use the name, basically, yes. to sell a show, right?
Well, they do that all the time. Yeah. Every time they go to Saudi Arabia, they do something completely arbitrary. King of the Ring, the greatest wrestler in the world, the World Cup, the greatest tag team ever. Mm-hmm. And this is the greatest Royal Rumble. What do you remember about being told, hey, yeah, we're doing a 50-man Royal Rumble?
I don't remember much, but I do remember the rumor swirling, which I think, you know, let's just throw an allegedly in front of this, were true, that, like, the Saudis had a list of demands. That's why it's allegedly true. And that's why if you watch that thing, every freak sized guy from NXT was randomly there. People who've never even wrestled yet were there.
Yeah. Yokozuna was one of the rumors that they wanted Yokozuna. There.
I guess they asked for Yokozuna and Ultimate Warrior was the rumor.
I told Falaba he should have went up to Scott D'Amore and been like, pay up, buddy, or I'm jumping
ship. But
then
we had a legitimate sumo there,
yes.
and I remember who spoke Japanese and not English and had never wrestled before in his life. And Jamie Noble's running this huge meeting telling us what's going on. He's like, all right, and then Sumo Brothers going to come out there. And we're just and he's just standing there, has no clue what's going on, man. It was kind of surreal to be part of.
How long was that meeting? Because it's a 50-man Royal Rumble.
I think they were doing it in sections. They were when you're out, you can walk away until it got down to, who was... I don't even remember who won that. Braun?
Braun won it.
Braun, I think I do a funny spot where Braun, I run away from him and he beats the crap out of me on the ramp. And I had, the ramp implanted on me because it hurt so bad.
So, Bryan Danielson was in all but 1 minute of that. Did he have to hang around for every section?
No, you just kind of get your thing and scram, yeah.
Because
it was
like,
this massive, almost an indoor soccer field thing. We're all standing there talking it out on.
I was interested because, I don't think anybody else did more than 34, 35 minutes, and he was in there for an hour 16, which probably was something that he wanted to do. Knowing
he's a sicko,
him,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's also the Titus Fall too, correct?
Yes. So
which I was in Gorilla for because I come out right after, and it was people laughing in a way I've never seen people laugh in my life. I mean, crippling with laughter, wild.
So was there any concern for his safety?
No, that was such an afterthought because obviously he was fine because he popped right out. You know, if he was under there for a minute, I think people would have got scared.
Yeah.
But he didn't even give you time to be concerned. He came right out. So everyone just lost it. No way that just happened.
A couple spots after you was Great Khali, and I can't even remember who it was that had told this story, but they told me a story about how when he was in one of his early Rumbles, he didn't speak great English, and he was throwing people, and he was legitimately amazed at how far he was throwing people, and while he did it, he was like, fuck! Wow!
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I've been around Khali since day one because he was a Deep South guy in 06 or whatever, before he debuted. And me and Broski would have to stay after practice and just get demolished by him.
We've
known him for a long time. That you're drawing all these funny memories. So I remember during that day, because we hadn't seen him in a while, we were bullshitting with him, sitting in catering, and the boys kind of ball busting.
Yeah.
And we were making fun of him that he knows nobody's name, even though he's been around us for 10, 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, everyone's just whatever. And
I love it.
Gallows, who knows him very well, was with him in Deep South, wrestling him a million times. He's like, hey, Khali, what? Or Dalit maybe even said to make a point, what's my name? He goes, Drew. And we were like, holy shit, he knows his name, whatever. And then Wyndham, Bray Wyatt, tries to go, Khali, what about me? What's my real name? And he goes, Michael Hayes, man. And you talk about a locker room pop. I mean, the boys fucking exploded.
Oh, that is amazing. So
yeah,
getting in for a show like that, it was the first one there. Mm-hmm. I had people telling me like it was a nightmare at the time, like navigating like through the airport or whatever it was, or maybe it was just once they got out. Like, what was the process of getting from plane to venue? Because from what I understand, it was like plane to venue, venue to plane for a lot of people. They didn't sightsee or anything. But then I had other people saying that they did.
So I had gone in like 2016, right when I came back, in like a regular European tour style. Mm-hmm. We went there first before it became a big thing. So I had been, and I knew what I was expecting, but there's always like, oh, don't let your tattoos show and all this like crazy stuff. But then it's like not like that. Like, I remember I went to like a Gold's Gym with Finn Balor, and like people had their tank tops and tats. It just wasn't as strict as it was. We were meant to like be in fear of, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, and I had been there a couple times by then. It was just whatever. I've had this thing, like, if you want to be a successful professional wrestler, you have to succumb to traveling.
Yes.
And I can just like black out. I can just like, it is what it is. Oh, 12-hour plane ride? Sure. Oh, I'm delayed? Okay. I can just, I've done it for so long, I'm just like numb to it. And it is what it is. And that, even if it means going all the way to Saudi, you know?
And then you were in the 2019 Royal Rumble, and you actually got one of the quickest eliminations in Royal Rumble history. You eliminated Titus in a few seconds, right?
Yes. That was really fun, actually. I was always jealous. I always thought, even though he's like one of my best friends, I thought the year before I should have had Heath's spot because I was doing the losing streak and he's on the ramp. I thought that was an awesome spot, but they weren't like, I was doing the losing streak thing and Heath really wasn't doing anything on TV, but he's so lovable and he just had that role like in history in WWE. So he could fill that role whenever.
The 2012 spot of him getting his ass whipped by legends was so good. Yeah.
Oh, the
so,
best.
Yeah.
The best. And he cried all through that. Like, man, they're jobbing me out, man. And we're like, dude, this is one of the coolest spots you're ever going to do in your career. Yeah. I think now he thinks of it like that, but back then he was like, you know, hoping to be champ.
Oh,
so I was like real jealous about that he got to do that. Cause I'm like, damn, I like losing streak deal in that spot, like keep getting drilled by guys on the ramp would have ruled. And then to finally be in a real rumble in a massive state, you know, baseball stadium and stuff was so cool. And to have like a cool spot, it wasn't like forgettable. I thought it was great. I got a nice little pop. That was right when that was like the losing streak was so deep that the crowd was starting to turn for me because they felt bad for me too. So I got a nice little reaction. I thought it was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah. I mean, as I looked back, I was like, man, he hadn't been in a rumble before the greatest Royal Rumble. I mean, you had in like indie shows and stuff like that. And I think you had been in like a battle royal to qualify for a Royal Rumble at one point.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But like not an actual rumble. Another feature I'm working on. I've heard a lot of stories from wrestlers, Bobby Lashley, Kofi Kingston, Kurt Angle, about Vince McMahon physically attempting to wrestle pro wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Lashley tells me he pummels in underhooks on him, tries to get that. Kofi had to be like, you want to fight on a plane?
That Kofi story, I know that one because we were very good friends. Yeah, that's kind of a legendary one.
Yeah, and he told me about that. And Kurt Angle, of course, told me the plane ride story. Have you ever witnessed Vince McMahon trying to wrestle anybody? And if not, what do you remember about the Kofi one being recounted to you?
I wasn't there for the Kofi one, but we're such good friends. I knew about it. I know that Vince was like, for sure, testing him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all. And then I know, I don't know if this version has been told, but Jericho kind of got in his ear and was like, dude, if you don't at least say something, Vince is going to lose all respect for you and... You know,
I got
the
it from Jericho.
You want, you're probably not going to have. So,
sorry
you
to interrupt. It was from Jericho's book. I got heat from WWE for asking Kofi that question because it was from Jericho's book and he was in AEW. And Kofi was like eager to tell the story because I don't think he had ever told the story before.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves it. Instead of doing a regular, boring ass WWE media interview. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, one of 15 that day, the day before WrestleMania, where there were going to be 15 headlines that say, Kofi Kingston says it's surreal to wrestle in front of no people.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So what do you remember about that, like, being recounted to you?
Just that, like, I made a mental note, like, ooh, if I'm ever in that situation, I'm going to have to fucking throw it down with Vince. Okay. You know, that's what I got out of it, you know, the lesson, you know. I was a producer in 2018 when I got hurt for over 2 months. So, like, all that, like, oh, you see Vince down the hallway and you kind of, like, you know, pucker up and you're scared, just completely went away because I was dealing with him like for hours at a time on a daily basis. So like towards the end there, I could just bullshit and talk to him. And like, I texted him like a regular person, which was awesome to kind of break that, like, you know, that shell. But I don't maybe quick little like, like kind of things. I never saw like a real, you know, lock up with somebody or like him go down. He's just, I think in my era, he was just a little bit too old for that and he knew it.
There were always those stories that are the story that he took the doomsday device from.
I mean, that story's legendary. Yeah. You know, well, the Heart Foundation would have done it or whatever. Yeah. That's, that's been told a million times. And there's no doubt in my mind that this guy's been involved in so many programs and dangerous matches. And, you know, even like that couple of years ago, that shoot headbutt he takes from Owens. I'm just
oh my God.
This is insane. Yeah.
That was a rough one.
But he loves it though, you know?
And then the last story I'm working on is people who have worked with Kevin Dunn. You've been in and out of WWE. I don't want to say how many. I'm sure you had plenty of face-to-face interactions with Kevin Dunn. Do you ever work directly with him? And like what was that process like?
I know our first time ever, it was when we had gotten with Edge and basically we were told we were going to get this like big push. And we did all right, obviously, you know, Hawkins and Ryder as the Edge head underlings. But like the first time we worked without Edge, like accompanying us or whatever, we came out to like generic wrestling song number 72. And we were like, ooh, that's pretty bad. And then we were like, what do we do about that? And somebody's like, you got to talk to Kevin. So like the following week we went and like just knocked on the truck and he's very elusive. I always say he's like the Wizard of Oz. Like he's just tucked away. Like, and if you do see him in the hallway, I always think he's faking a phone call. And he walks by cause he doesn't want to like get, you know, bombarded by talent and shit. And then, so that's where he is, you know, he eats in there. Like it's hard to get hold of him. So like, we were like, okay. And we're just young kids, never really had any interaction with him. We went and we actually had like an awesome conversation with him about music and what we'd like. And that, hey, like we want something a little bit more special. And we wound up getting that really cool Disciple song out of it. So that was my first interaction with him. And it was a great one, you know?
Yeah. I often hear the he's heard, not seen thing like with that. I can't remember who it was that said it was like it might've been Chelsea that was like, it's like the voice of God. Like you never see him. You hear him
in the rehearsals over the speaker, but you're not seeing him. Yeah. And then, dude, like I said, I was in the meetings as a producer and he's there. He's right up front. He doesn't say a word. It's not like he's there just burying people. Like, but he doesn't say anything.
That'd be great if he was. It'd be interesting for my article.
Yeah, I mean, he's the, yeah.
So like you had mentioned he's over the speakers and stuff. Like what's his demeanor like over those? Like I've heard some stories of him like joking around and being playful and stuff like that. And then
yeah,
the other ones
sure.
are really straightforward and serious.
Right. Again, you're drawing some more memories. Right when I came back in 2016 and they finally figured out they're going to air those goofy vignettes for me. I knew I had like 6 weeks of coming to TV. You bang out those vignettes during the day, essentially. And like my day's over by like 3-4 o'clock.
Sure.
So I was just like looking for stuff to do and be proactive. So like, I asked him if I could just hang out in the truck and watch him like produce. So I actually went in there for like an episode and watched, and that was nuts. Pretty nuts. He's also a mega Baltimore sports fan.
Really?
And he'll have like the Ravens on or like the Orioles or whatever. And he's cutting Raw live and doing all the shit while like watching that,
<That's>
which I thought was like an insane multitasking thing because like my wife will ask me a question while I'm reading a text and I can't even speak. So I don't know how
him being an Orioles fan explains the aggressive camera cuts and production of that show.
Yeah.
Like
there's nothing to be
he's in there
happy
angry.
About for years there.
Cut,
yeah.
cut. Yeah. Oh man. Brian, tell the people where they can find Extreme Conversations. Obviously podcast platforms everywhere. It is a fantastic series.
It's absolutely free wherever you find your podcast. Like I said, there's the pilot and 5 episodes. It's full season 1 for free. Available to download, listen at your leisure. I do encourage you to use hashtag Extreme Conversations on social media, whether that's Instagram or Twitter, and so I can see it and interact and let me know what you thought. And we're gearing up for probably a season 2 because it was just such a big hit. And I'm, you know, flattered and floored and glad that people are enjoying it. So and I'm going to have to start plotting away with Mr. Sterling to see what our topics will be because I feel like the people want Balls Money Part 2, and that's already...
Yeah.
Already kind of locked down as the only one for sure.
Well, I'm excited to finish off the series by listening to that. I started it this weekend and couldn't stop while I was working.
Thank you.
It was phenomenal stuff. Extreme Conversations with Brian Myers. Brian, thank you so much for being much more pleasant than Matt Cardona.
Of course. Yeah, he's a dipshit.
He is. He got upset at me last week. He's like, I've been here at WrestleCade for 4 hours, you didn't ask me to come over and do my interview. And I was like, sorry, man, I couldn't see you through Thunder Rosa's really long line in front of you.
I know, it was tough to see him through that line, yeah.
So there you go. But Brian Myers, thank you so much.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Until next time, we're out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.